Fairfax Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 26th of June. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, the resignation of Visit Isle of Man's chair draws scrutiny as government declines to say whether a whistleblower dossier played a part. Why has the government issued takedown notices to some TT footage shared online? And we'll have the latest on Billy Harris at the Eastbourne Open, plus some new information about a rider who was injured at the TT. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's join Chanel Suku for the latest news headlines. Fast am I, Chanel?
Fast am I. The chair of Visit Isle of Man has resigned after just 9 months in the role. The government says it's to focus on his business interests on and off island. But Manx Radio can reveal Andrew Magnus's departure follows the circulation of an anonymous dossier about his past in local government in Kent. Mr. Magnus told Manx Radio the claims are politically motivated and says he has never been arrested. One of Peel's MHKs says it's disappointing it's taken this long for work on a sewage treatment to start, but is pleased that it's finally happening. The first sod has officially been turned at the site of the facility on land off Glenfaber Road. Glenfaber and Peel member Tim Crookall says he attended his first public meeting on this issue in 2009. And a resident of Castleview Nursing Home in Peel has celebrated a very special birthday. Mildred Earnshaw turned 102 in style with a party thrown by staff at the home and a visit from His Excellency, Lieutenant Governor Sir John Lorimer. In international news, Sir Keir Starmer says he knows there's urgent need for change to the welfare system, but he's hinted at possible concessions ahead of a vote on the government's proposals next week. An investigation is underway after a double-decker bus left a road and ended up in a river. A total of 7 people, including 6th-form students and the bus driver, are being treated in hospital. And Cristiano Ronaldo has signed a new 2-year contract with Saudi Arabian club Al Nassr. The 40-year-old Portugal forward remains one of the highest-paid players in the world. Those are your headlines. News at 6.
It's a difficult one to say, Chanel, but no worries at all. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Largely dry now for much of today. Sunny spells, moderate to fresh west or southwest wind and a maximum temperature of 18 degrees Celsius. Then some patchy rain and drizzle redeveloping later this evening and at times overnight. Overcast and windy tomorrow with occasional outbreaks of rain or drizzle. Areas of mist and risk of fog affecting southern and eastern coastal areas at time. Fresh to strong south or southwest wind and a top temperature of 16 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagod Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagod Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagod Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 5 minutes past five, and the chair of Visit Isle of Man has stepped down after just 9 months in the role. The agency says Andrew McNess left to focus on his business interests, but Manx Radio can reveal there's more to the story. Simon Richardson is with us. Simon, just talk us through it.
Faster, my Christian. Yes, on the surface, this looked like a routine resignation. But around a month ago, before Mr. McNess stepped down, Manx Radio received an anonymous dossier raising questions about his past. It revealed he previously served as a Conservative councillor in Kent and was a director of Medway Commercial Group. That's a council-owned company that remains at the centre of a police investigation over allegations of fraud.
And just give us a bit of insight into that company.
Well, he resigned in 2019, the same year the company reported a £1.7 million loss of taxpayer money. The entire board actually stepped down, and Kent Police launched a criminal investigation shortly afterwards. That inquiry is still ongoing, and several people have been arrested or interviewed under caution, though, it must be stressed, no charges have been brought. Police say the investigation is complex and involves reviewing a large volume of financial records.
And was any of this background known when he was appointed to visit Isle of Man?
Well, that's unclear. The government's press release at the time highlighted his private sector experience and business interests, but made no mention of his political background or involvement with Medway Commercial Group. What we do know, though, is that Andrew says it's the responsibility of executive officers to carry out due diligence checks when necessary. Now, Manx Radio asked whether any due diligence checks were carried out, but the agency declined to answer. They have, however, now launched an internal investigation.
And have we heard anything from Mr. McNess? What does he say?
He strongly denied any wrongdoing, and in a statement to Manx Radio, he described the claims as politically motivated and mischief-making. He said he's never been arrested, has always cooperated with police when requested, and stands by his track record. He also clarified that, as a non-executive chair, he had no role in operational matters at Visit Isle of Man.
And just about that internal investigation, do we know what that is looking into?
No, Visit Isle of Man hasn't shared the terms of reference and says it won't comment further until the investigation is complete. There's no timeline yet on when that might be.
Simon, thank you very much. And you can read the full story over at manxradio.com. 7 minutes past five now. Let's stick with the Department for Enterprise. Unauthorised live streams of the TT races are not permitted, and the Department for Enterprise maintains the right to remove such content. That's according to the Enterprise Minister, Tim Johnston, in a written response this week to a Timwald question on what people are allowed to film at the event. Rob Pritchard has more details.
The Minister had been asked by Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas whether members of the public can film and live stream TT and Festival of Motorcycling footage from private land and public roads, and if not, why not? In response, Mr. Johnston said, while filming public roads is permitted and fans are encouraged to share content, the expectation is that this is done responsibly. He goes on to state that the official live broadcasting service for the TT is one of the event's main commercial revenue streams, and his department is contractually obliged through individual agreements to protect the market exclusivity that broadcasters pay rights fees for. Furthermore, DfE maintains the right to use digital rights management tools on platforms such as YouTube to remove unofficial content which they consider to be infringing on legitimate streams. Meanwhile, Mr. Johnston adds these measures are not intended to restrict genuine fan engagement, but rather protect commercial interests and significant investment required to deliver the event. Whilst DfE is the rights holder also of the Classic TT, it's been confirmed they don't hold the same rights for the Manx Grand Prix and Southern 100.
Rob Pritchard reporting there. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Work to end the discharge of raw sewage into the sea at Peel is progressing well towards a final completion date of 2028. Contractors have started building on land off the Glenfaber Road, where the main treatment plant will be created. John Wannenberg, MHK, is the chair of Manx Utilities and says, despite the final completion date being some way off, people will see a significant improvement in bathing water quality long before then.
Certainly there will be, yeah. The main part of the screening, so effectively holding back the main waste, will be done probably in the summer of 27, so it would be very safe to go for a swim in Peel Bay after that date. I mean, that's intrinsically what's going to be happening. The tidying up will be happening after that, and I would hope that this side of 27 will all be done.
Now, obviously, people have waited a long time for this, but what are the specific challenges posed by a project like this?
I suppose the conditions, certainly to begin with, the weather. Thereafter, I mean, the money's in place, and the challenges, I think, is just to get things done as quickly as possible, but also as safely as possible and as properly as possible, if that makes sense. We want to do a good job. As you say, this has been a long, long time coming for the people of Peel. It's a great news story, and we need to deliver the best project that we can for the money.
And how's progress been so far? It's only a few weeks in now, but looking around here, there's a lot of work being done.
Yeah, we had a delay to the start, but work is definitely underway. The topsoil's been taken out. Places for the road to come down is put in place, and the overhead cables have been diverted. So at this time of the project, there's a lot of work being done that you can see. I think after a while, there'll be a lot of finer work, which is not as evident, but just as important.
I suppose people will ask the question, why has it taken so long to get this underway?
Well, you know, I wish I could answer that question. I mean, I was talking to Ray Harmer this morning, and he says 20 years, so I'm just delighted that we are getting it underway now. And I mean, you know, it's been an awful long time for whatever reason, some of them I don't know. But the important thing is now we're giving our full attention, and Manx Utilities are very proud to be able to deliver this for the people of Peel.
John Wannenberg, the Douglas North MHK, he's also the chair of Manx Utilities, speaking to Simon Richardson there. 11 minutes past five, let's turn our attention now to the family library that continues to rumble on. An MHK says he's extremely disappointed at the news it'll be ceasing trading and closing from the end of next month. The organisation made the announcement, if you remember, on social media last night, saying all lending, which includes the mobile and delivery service, will cease on the 18th of July before it formally closes on the 31st. Now, reacting to the news, Onchan MHK Rob Callister says he'd be keen to see what the Isle of Man government will do to ensure some sort of service in the further areas of the community to ensure there is still interaction.
I'm extremely disappointed for the people that rely so heavily on the family library and on the mobile library, who rely on those services within our community. But I think really need to get to the bottom of who actually relies heavily on the mobile library, who relies heavily on the family library, because Douglas does have more than one library. So hopefully people will be able to move from the family library in Douglas to an alternative library. But for me, it's the mobile library. Who relies on that within our community? What can we do to make sure those people, and some of those will be elderly, some people will rely on that connection in our community, maybe the only contact they get each week, you know, when they swap their books. So it's important to understand who's going to be affected by this closure, or hopefully it's a temporary closure, and then what then happens afterwards. What will the Manx government be doing to make sure we've got some sort of library service in the further reaches of our community? Because it's really positive to make sure that people who live on their own, elderly, young mums who are stuck at home, that they have an avenue to engage with our communities. And we've had this conversation so many times in this administration, you know, the closure of our post offices, that person going into the post office to access them services, then going into the library to pick up a book, then going into the shops. It's about interaction within our communities. And if you actually take the mobile library, that really goes out into the countryside where there is no shops or no post office. So it's about making sure that there is a connection within our community, because as a small island, we really do need to rely heavily on all of the services that are available, but also having that wider connection within our community here on the island.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look at the latest on the roads. There is something to be aware of, first and foremost. Emergency services are dealing with a road traffic collision at the bottom of Strang Road in Union Mills, with its junction with Peel Roads. And police are telling us to avoid the area while the matter is being dealt with, and it's going to be issuing a further update in due course. Aside from that, though, there are a couple of other things to be aware of, which remain on ongoing in Douglas. Temporary lights on Broadway, that's near the Victoria Road turn, for resurfacing work. In Sandton, temporary lights on the new Castletown Road, that's near Mount Murray, for resurfacing. Over in Castletown, temporary lights on the Victoria Road, that's near the petrol station, for bus stop improvement work. And in Sulby, temporary lights on Sulby Bridge, and that's with a work on the manholes. Nothing else that we're being told of, though, so if you do spot anything while you're out and about on your travels, let us know. We'll give it a mention as long as it's safe and legal to do so. 166-177, studio@manxradio.com. Taking a look over at the Steam packet, there's no changes there, but something to be aware of is their website is currently experiencing some technical difficulties. As such, the Manxman sailings aren't being displayed, but they are still running. So if you have a ticket and you're expecting to be heading off, then presume all is normal, and fingers crossed that glitch will be fixed soon. Turn our attention to the airport, and there's nothing to be aware of there, although the Logan Air London City, that flight is delayed. That's due to be landing at around about 13 minutes past 6, so just under a little under an hour.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside.
Infrastructure Minister and Russian MHK Michelle Haywood's next on Men in Line. The DOI is the department which oversaw the Liverpool landing stage overspend, the shortage of air traffic controllers at Ronald's Way, the Douglas Promenade refurbishment, the Douglas Harbour silt issue, the Craigneish bus service situation, and now the introduction of the proposed 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. Many of the issues predate her appointment earlier this year, so how does she view the future? I'm Andy Wint, and you can talk to your Minister for Infrastructure, Michelle Haywood MHK, on Men in Line tomorrow at midday on smart devices, on air, online, on Manx Radio.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
16 minutes past 5, and international credit agency Moody's has held the island's rating at AA3, the same as the UK's, after its latest annual report. Simon Richardson is back with us now. He's working overtime. He has this report.
The updated analysis of the island's economic and fiscal position notes the island's low debt and substantial reserves, and recognises the challenges faced in strengthening the workforce. Obtaining a good rating from Moody's and other international agencies is seen as a critical element in attracting new business to a jurisdiction. The latest Isle of Man analysis has been welcomed by Treasury Minister Alex Allinson. He says it provides a positive independent snapshot of the island's economy, assessing clearly what government is doing well and where challenges may arise. Along with access to skills within the workforce, Moody's highlights the threat to the island of global political uncertainty and market volatility. But there is recognition of what the agency calls the island's robust and transparent institutional framework in terms of governance, in addition to pragmatic policy making and prudent fiscal policy.
Simon Richardson with that report there. The Department for Infrastructure is looking to introduce legislation to increase the social housing income threshold. In response to a question from Chris Thomas, Minister Michelle Haywood said local authorities currently follow guidance to select who can be allocated a property.
Some housing providers consider housing waiting list applications via their board or a housing committee, whereas other housing providers' delegated officers may decide allocations. In either circumstance, housing providers are expected to follow the Public Sector Housing General Needs Allocation Policy of 2019 and the Allocations Policy Guidance Notes issued by the Department to ensure consistency in decision making. These guidance notes are publicly available on the housing website. In respect of policy and law, the Department is undertaking consultation with stakeholders and is preparing amendments to the Public Sector Housing General Needs Allocation Policy of 2019. It's anticipated that these amendments will be laid before Tim Ward before the end of this year. The amendments that we're proposing to bring forward to Tim Ward will be revised income thresholds, with the proposal of using an index link measure to allow for future increases to be implemented. So that will require Tim Ward approval to go through.
So the excellent guidance notes from July 2023 talk about points being awarded for a variety of criteria which in combination determine the applicant with the highest priority for housing. And those common criteria include health, welfare needs, include things like the time on the list if there's a tie. Can the Minister confirm then that whether politicians are involved or not, this is an objective assessment of need, and whoever you are as a politician, the common criteria as laid out in the law and the guidance apply?
All housing providers have been issued with a residency discretion housing guidance document, which outlines where there are sufficient reasons upon which a decision may be made to exercise discretion. This guidance should be adhered to in the same way as the allocations policy guidance document, whether that's at board or committee level.
Minister, Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward taking questions from Chris Thomas there. And as we heard just before that, Minister Michelle Hayward will be on Man in Line tomorrow from 12 noon. So do listen in and send in your questions if you want to have a question answered. Well, a Douglas North MHK says children who use the play area in Governors Hill deserve better. David Ashford is supporting a campaign by a local dad to try and improve the area's park, which he claims has been forgotten. Douglas Council says it fully acknowledges the facility needs attention and refurbishment, believes there are no immediate safety concerns. Our local Democracy reporter has been speaking with Mr. Ashford.
Governors Hill has become the forgotten area of Douglas in terms of the play area. The surface in there is an absolute disgrace, to be frank, and the whole thing is looking tired. While a lot of parks across Douglas have actually seen large amounts of capital investment, Governors Hill hasn't seen any real capital investment in 16 years. So I actually worked out that a child who was just becoming a school age the last time Governors Hill received any capital investment would actually now be celebrating their 21st birthday. It's time that there was investment in that play park and it was brought up to standards that we see of other play parks around Douglas, because it's serving a large amount of families, a large amount of children. Some of the nurseries use that play park as well, and it's right across from the school. It's well used, but it's not well looked after. There's something to be said for people power, and the campaign is really sort of gaining some traction now, and it's certainly getting it to the front of a lot of people, and hopefully it will actually result in something being done. Like I say, it's sort of now been just left. The only actual two major pieces of work that have gone on in Governors Hill in the last 16 years has been the surface was all replaced, but there was no real groundwork done underneath, so it's all lifting again. And there was also replacement of the railings, but that was only because a car drove through it and ended up crashing at the other end of the play park, which was probably about 8-9 years ago now. And that is it. None of the equipment's been really changed, none of it's been updated. Anyone who goes up there, it's looking really, really tired. And to be honest, the children who use that play park deserve better.
Cabinet Office Minister and Douglas North MHK David Ashford speaking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it was a special day at the Castle View Nursing Home in Peel yesterday. Resident Mildred Earnshaw celebrated her 102nd birthday. That's a lot of years. She celebrated with a party thrown by staff at the home and a visit from His Excellency Lieutenant Governor Sir John Lorimer. She told Sir John and Manx Radio's Simon Richardson, he's back, that she's lived there since the 1930s.
I came to the island with my parents just before the war. And of course, when war broke out, naturally we stayed here and we've been here ever since.
Well, I think with that length of time, we can probably call you Manx now.
Oh, I don't know about that, and I don't think I could ever qualify to be Manx.
In the years you've been here, you must have seen enormous changes.
Very much so, yes, very much so. I used to love walking along the promenade and seeing people hurrying for the boats, and the horse trams, of course, were always backwards and forwards, and it was a very hustly bustly sort of town, and I was very happy here.
Can I ask you, you've seen the island as it is these days and how it was then, which do you prefer?
Well, that's a very tricky question, isn't it? I like it all. I've always been happy here and I've never wanted to live anywhere else, so that speaks for itself, doesn't it?
And 102, what are you planning for your 103rd birthday?
I'm not planning anything. I didn't plan this birthday, never mind the next one. So I don't make plans now.
And can I ask you what you used to do for a living when you were a young girl?
I went in the Isle of Man Bank from the high school. And this was during the war, of course. And I quite enjoyed the work there and I stayed there until I got married. I don't know how old I was when I left, but quite a few years later when I left. I was always very happy in the bank.
And Your Excellency, you get to meet a lot of people, but I suppose not many of them are 102 years of age.
No, absolutely. And I tell you what, Mildred is a marvellous advertisement for old age, maybe, and a fellow Onconite.
Yes.
I have absolutely no idea if I will, A, get to 102 years old, and B, be, conscious enough to be talking like that. But a very big well done to Mildred. Well, let's turn our attention to sport. Let's say hello to sports editor Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I, Christian. Well, starting off tonight, former Ireland tennis star Billy Harris has been knocked out of this year's Eastbourne Open. Competing in the quarterfinal stage this afternoon, the former Albany and Castletown competitor suffered a straight sets defeat to French fourth seed Hugo Humbert, 7-6, 6-1. 12 months ago, Harris had reached the semi-final stage of the competition. Well, attention for Harris will now turn to the upcoming draw for the gentlemen's singles tournament at Wimbledon, with the draw itself taking place tomorrow. Well, having previously been a reserve, Harris replaces Japanese veteran Kai Nishikori, who's withdrawn through injury. In cycling, Gran Fondo Isle of Man, one of the island's major cycling events, will switch to become a gravel bike and mountain bike race in 2026. Officials say it will be a mass participation event in which competitors take on a 90-kilometre course, starting in the north of the island and finishing in the south in Castletown on Sunday, the 26th of July next year. Well, in December last year, it was announced that 2025 will be the last time that Gran Fondo runs solely as a road cycling festival, which it has done since its inception. Well, furthermore, organisers add this new format will be inclusive and accessible, welcoming riders of all ages and abilities with different rides over different distances. A shorter 40-kilometre Medio Fondo will take place at the same time as the Grand Fondo. This one, though, will be for any type of bike, including e-bikes and under sportive conditions. Outside of the main two events, on Sunday, the 26th of July, there will also be two social riding events held on that same weekend. On Saturday, the 25th, will be the Piccolo Fondo, which is a guided social ride, and the family-friendly Minusculo Fondo ride on the Sunday in Castletown. Also in cycling, three Isle of Man riders are involved in the opening day of the 2025 British National Road Championships in Wales today. Tyler Hannay has finished 13th in the men's under-23 time trial. Meanwhile, both Max Walker and Lizzie Holden are involved in the elite men's and women's time trials respectively, which are currently ongoing.
Fabulous. Thank you very much for that, Rob. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Chanel Suku. Up next is Island Life, followed by Chris Crinley's Greatest Hits. Maurice Powell has A Little Light Music for your Thursday evening from 9 o'clock, and then Rhian Evans taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.